Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 7th January 2024, Tuesday class. 25. Oh, 2025, sorry. Yeah. Another year already. So Chinese New Year is soon. Okay, good. So we will continue from our sharing from this book, the wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta. So, as usual, let us compose our mind, develop the Sada, Virya, then we gather for physical puja. Namo Bhen Si Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Bhen Si Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Bhen Si Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Amitofo, Namo Amitofo, Namo Amitofo, Namo Milafo, Namo Milafo, Namo Milafo, Namo Yao Sifo, Namo Yao Sifo, Namo Yao Sifo, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Dishang Wang Pusa. Namo Dishang Wang Pusa. Namo Dishang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Musawada Ramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami Suramiraya Majapamadatana Ramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. And we will continue from Padipa Puja onwards. Kanna sarappa dithena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonudang Ganda sambara yutena Dupena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana motamang Vanda ganda guno petang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami unindasa Siri pada sarorohe Pujemi bedang kusumena nena Punena matena ce hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasa bawang Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parika pitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu motamang Adivase tuno bante Pale parika pitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu motamang Adivase tuno bante Rojanang arika pitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu motamang. Now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of likes. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami or generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free nibbana. Making of oral aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be fully strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Paja. Badang Pajami. Damang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. So just relax body and mind. Completely relax, then maintain awareness. Whatever arises within our sixth sense door, we just maintain the awareness within, to be aware, that's it. No need to know, no need to do anything, and no need to follow anything, just aware. Whatever arise, aware, finish. Yeah. This is a very good way of developing the stability of inner awareness. Yeah, when you just aware and do not allow the thought to arise, means you are maintaining the inner awareness to be with the moment in awareness, to be aware, just aware, that's it. No need to know. We are all knowing come from the thought process, come from memory, which is knowledge. So we need to develop more and more awareness within, so that through the awareness, we can develop the meditative understanding. It can enable us to insight into phenomena and awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. That it can also silently within observe the movement, the activity, so that we understand what is going on within the moment, within life, within existence. And through that, we develop the understanding of who we are, what we are, and how we function as a human being, how we become emotional, how anger arises, how emotion arises, how fear, worry, anxiety arise. And we can see clearly how our mundane mind, through wrong thought, wrong view, and wrong understanding, stir the mind, create mental activity, thinking, movement, especially heedless thinking. Understand it. Yeah. Then you will progress. And all these other wisdom that can help you understand life, understand your own self, means self-knowledge. Who are you? What are you? Is the physical body really you? Is the form and mind really you? Are you what you think you are? So all this understanding are very important. And through this awareness training, you will come to understand clearly later on that you have two minds. One is the dependent originating mind, which is condition arising cause of phenomena. That one create thought process. That one, the aggregates of mind is very active. The feeling, vedana, the perception, sanya, the mental activity, mental state and mental thinking or sankhara, the planning, the scheming, the manifestation of the mundane thought process or thinking, they are all your sankhara activity or what we call content of consciousness. If you don't arise them, then your consciousness become pure, the pure content without any sankhara activity. No sankhara, no thinking. No thinking, no duality. No wrong thought, no wrong speech, no wrong action. Where everything is tranquil, still, quiet. If you don't create, there is nothing for you to grasp and cling. It is only through delusion that one creates, give meaning, grabs, cling, and trigger off the suffering. Then after that, continue to maintain awareness, to stabilize this inner awareness. You can do it well. Your mind will settle down and become very quiet. So when the mind settles down and becomes very quiet, it means the mundane mind's activity is no more. When the mundane mind's activity is no more, then that true mind, which was always there, the primordial mind, the intrinsic nature within, is only tranquility, stillness, silence, no activity, nothing. And that is your true mind. That is your true nature. Observe that. Be with that. Stay there. Then you will become beautiful. You will develop a lot of understanding. Then you can insight into phenomena and awaken. You can see things as they are clearly. And that type of understanding is very useful to let you understand life, the Dhamma, to let you relinquish all the deluded thinking, so that all this phenomenal of consciousness and thought or form has got no power over you. So all this is part and parcel of meditation. Okay, now I will let you continue with the training of the mind. Then for those who have already stabilized their inner awareness, you can move on to the fourth support, which is trust. Trust your nature to continue with the meditative movement. Means no more interference from the thought process. No more trying to use your memory, your thought process to direct the meditative movement where there is thought based. So what you should do is you just silence everything, allow it to be, then let the mind settle down and stay at the heart area. When you stay at the heart area, whatever arises, just aware, stay there. Aware, stay there. Until the mundane activity and stirring of the mind or whatever movement slow down. Slow down. Until it becomes very quiet and very still. Until when there is no mind. Then you will understand. Without thought, who are you? That is the most beautiful experience. Then after that, let that nature move. That nature know what to do. It's already wise, intelligent. It will know how to activate and move the inner awareness nature. And the inner awareness nature will move to the place that it's supposed to be, so that it can activate your internal meditative movement that can transform you into more and more refined awareness. It will stabilize your awareness nature until you can finally locate the gateway to your nature. Once the gateway to your nature has been located by your pure awareness, a lot of beautiful things will happen. Your whatever external thought-based energy or whatever training that you have done, they will all melt inside that gateway and become pure energy. Then the pure energy will move by itself, activate the internal nadis and chakra on its own. And it will activate whatever that needs to be activated. So that is for those who have already developed the stability of inner awareness to continue with the training of the mind to be aware, to stabilize it further so that it can illuminate that nature. it can transform and give rise to a lot of internal spiritual activity or movement. That movement can bring about a lot of transformation of consciousness that can develop more and more understanding for the form and mind to awaken. And slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the meditative mind state of the true mind, which is just aware within, tranquil, still. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalisu atraha gacchantu devata saddhammam munirajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadam Dhamma sabanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma sabanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma sabanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho. Ija charana sampano sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusana putto bhagavati suhakato bhagavata namo Sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opadaiko pacatang veditabo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Uyupatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Yadidang chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati sadhu Sadhu, sadhu. Okay. The Wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta, Volume 4, Chapter 3, Parables. Now I will read on. And there is this part, an encounter in Arizona. Xianhua mentioned, he said, I remember a funny experience I had when I arrived in the United States. During my first year here in the States, there was a spiritual group that invited me to join them on a trip to Arizona to propagate their teaching to the Native Americans. When I arrived there, I saw the people living in very poor condition. Their living quarters have no toilets, bed, or mosquito nettings. Their dwellings were hardly fit for human dwellings. It was summertime, and the weather was very hot. So I wore very thin clothing. When their leader saw me, he saw the swastika, the German inverted German sign, the swastika symbol on my chest. Then he started to weep. He said that we were of the same family and rejoiced that he got to meet me at long last. He sobbed, we have been looking forward to your coming for a long time. Come and save us. I asked, who told you this? He said that he recognized the swastika symbol on my chest. I told him, anyone can fake it. You can tattoo one too, if you want to. Despite what I said, I deeply sympathize with them in their miserable living condition. I could not bear to see them suffer. After that, I returned to California. At that time, I also heard that there was an earthquake in Iran. Many died in that disaster. In the same year, over 160 people died in a typhoon in Hong Kong, Shantian District. Then there was the incident of the Russians sending nuclear missile to Cuba, sparking the Cuban missile crisis. At that time, it seems that a war was inevitable between the United States and Cuba. Seeing this situation, I said, I do not have much power, but I will pray for world peace by fasting. I hope that there will be fewer calamities everywhere. So I read the note 17. The swastika is a symbol, an ancient symbol, used by many cultures throughout human history. In Buddhism, it is among the hallmark of a gripping. The Sanskrit word swastika has the meaning of auspicious. It's used exclusively in the clockwise orientation as a symbol of Nazism and anti-Semitism began only in the 12th century or 20th century. This has tarnished its meaning for many people in the West. But its use here has no relationship to those ideologies. About 3 or 4 weeks into my fast, a reporter came wanting to interview me, and a TV crew came to film me. That difficult disciple that I mentioned earlier show up too. He did not let reporter talk to me. After that, many other people came. He asked them to interview me instead. What did he say? He claimed that even though I did not eat rice, I still ate bread. Not to mention bread, I did not even drink a sip of tea. I drank only a cup of water a day. After fasting for 5 weeks, I finally started taking food. Think about this. Just by abstaining from eating, I make him jealous. Not only did he not support me, he tried to slander me. Cultivation is not easy. It is not as sweet as eating candy. Rather, it is very bitter. Then, next part is the sutta, explaining the impartiality of the mind. Then he reflects, my wealth is unlimited, so I should not give my children small or inferior cards. After all, these youngsters are my children, whom I love equally without any favoritism. Since I have such great cards, made of the seven treasure, infinite in number, I shall give a card to each of them impartially. Why? The card would not run out when given out to all the people in the country, let alone when given just to my children. Commentaries. Then he, the elder, which represent the Buddha, reflect. He said, my wealth is unlimited, so I should not give my children small or inferior card. Meaning, nothing could be higher or more noble than my Dhamma. I should not use the lesser vehicle, Dhamma, as a means of taking across living beings. I should not give the Dhamma of the lesser vehicle to my 30 children, that is, to my disciple, the Savaka, the Pacheka Buddhas, and the Bodhisattvas. After all, these young children, whom I love equally without any favoritism, meaning these children represent those of the three vehicles, the Theravada, Mahayana, and the Supreme Vehicle. So Theravada represents the sainthood way. Then Mahayana is actually covering the higher teaching, which is the Bodhisattva way. But within the Theravada tradition, there are also Pacheka Buddhas, or they call the sound hearer, and the what they call go back a bit, say come down back a bit. Pacheka Buddha is the silent Buddha they call. So the sound hearer and the conditioned enlightened one and the Bodhisattvas. So they call it in Pali the Savaka, sound hearer. Pacheka Buddha means the silent Buddha that has become a Buddha but not with the sasana. They didn't fully perfect it. Then the Bodhisattvas are the cultivators who goes the full Bodhisattva way to realize Sammasambuddhahood. So these children represent those of the three vehicles who had recently made a resolve to cultivate. They were like young children who knew nothing. Although the children lacked common sense, they were the eldest child, means the Buddha's disciple, and he loved them all. Similarly, the Buddha treated all living beings equally, without prejudice and without favoritism. Since I had such great card, made of the seven treasure, infinite in number, I should give a card to each of them impartially. The commentary says, the seven treasures represent the seven factors of enlightenment or awakening. Then the eightfold path, the five roots, the five powers, the four foundations of mindfulness, the four kinds of right effort, and the four steps to spiritual power. These are the 37 factors of enlightenment. So the great vehicle, Buddha Dharma, is made up of these 37 factors of enlightenment, or aids to awakening. There should be no discrimination in the way the cards are distributed. Why? The card would not run out when given out to all the people in the country, let alone when given just to my children. The commentary said, suppose the elder were to give away all his wealth, his Dhamma treasures, to every people in the country. The country is an analogy for the pure rhyme of eternity, tranquil radiance. The phrase not run out signifies that the Buddha Dharma will never run out or be exhausted. If the elders have more than enough card to give to the people in the entire country, surely he has enough for his own children, with whom he has such close tie. The elder is determined to give each child a great card pulled by the white ox. Then the next part of the sutta say, analogy of the children's joy upon receiving the card. So the sutta say, meanwhile, all of the children are riding around on the great cards, experiencing what they never had before, beyond their original hopes. So the commentary say, meanwhile, all the children are riding around in the great cart, means it refers to the time after the elder has given away the great cart. If he had limited wealth, but they were not his children, he would not have given them the great cards. If they were his children, but he was poor, he could not even give them great cards, make of the seven treasures either. Neither the elder is not only rich, he also has limitless wealth. He has various treasures, all filled to overflowing. Since these children were the Buddha's true disciple, the Buddha gave them a great card. The children had not expected to be given great card. They were merely hoping for sheep card or deer card. Those card would have satisfied them. The children would have played happily with them. But now the elder had given each of them the great card because he is so wealthy. This represents the Buddha giving each of his true disciples the equivalent of a great card, the great vehicle Dhamma, supreme vehicle Dhamma. He uses this great supreme vehicle Dhamma to teach and rescue living beings. The elder's children had not had such high expectation. Every child was given a great white ox card that was beautiful and magnificent. The children ride around in them, experiencing what they never had before, beyond their original hopes. They have never seen anything like these cards before, let alone been able to play with them. They had hoped for smaller cards. To be given great cards was beyond their expectation. What does this symbolize? This represents that those of the two vehicles started out practicing the lesser vehicle and has already ended birth and death through this cultivation or practice. Now each realizes the path to their past practice in the formative stage without having to put in extra effort to go through the extra trouble. On the basis of their cultivation and practice, they were able to accomplish the great vehicle. What is meant by past practice? Says, it refers to whatever Dhamma they have already learned. The lesser vehicle had already practices. During the Dhamma flower assembly, they were one step further, turning from the lesser to the great and attaining the great supreme vehicle. As a matter of course, they also ended cognitive birth and death, which was well beyond their expectation. What they attained was beyond what they had originally hoped for. So this one maybe I explain a bit. You see, under the lesser vehicle or the sainthood way, the Theravada and Pachika Buddha's tradition, what they cultivate was actually only the Four Noble Truths and its three turning, leading to the enlightenment in the here and the now. They can realize any of the four stages of sainthood cultivation. First stage of sainthood is the Sotapannaship, where they will realize the path and fruition to be a Sotapan, or we call it the first stage of sainthood. Then when they continue further their cultivation, they will realize Sakadagami, second stage of sainthood, where the first three fetters of what they call delusion that actually trap them within samsara. The first three fetter, when they sever them, it will lead to the realization of Sotapannaship, or what we call the first stage of sainthood. Then when they further cultivate and they are able to attenuate or reduce their sensual desire and ill will, they can realize the second stage of sainthood, which is Sakadagami. Then after that, if they continue with their training, cultivation, and when they can root out the fetters of sensual desire and ill will completely, when the first five fetters has been rooted out, they attain or what they call realize Anagamiship, the third stage of sainthood. And each and every of these stages, it has their path and fruition. They will realize the path followed by the fruition. Yeah. Then after that, there are five more fetters where they need to root it out. And these last five fetters are more difficult. They are attachment to psychic, or what they call jhanas, form jhanas. Then the seventh one is attachment to formless jhana. Then number 8, 9, and 10 are also very subtle defilements or fetters. They call minor conceit, mana. Number 8. Then after that, number 9 is restlessness of mind. Even at anagami level, their mind, for no reason, they can become restless too. But they haven't ruled out the last fetters, which is avijja, ignorant. Not until the last fetters of avijja has been rooted out, they cannot realize the fourth stage of sainthood, which is the arahantship or arantaship. So this fourth stage of sainthood, when they realize that, they would have ended the segmented body's birth and death. Means every life Puttajana, or the living being that hasn't realized arahantaship, they will take birth. And when they take birth, they come through the karmic process, where the form and mind, the segmented form and mind, just like this life, you and me, each and every one of us, and this physical body and mind, which you call Pradatio, is my segmented form that come since birth until now, maybe until this life force end, until that cessation has been realized finally. Then this segment of the form and mind that come, it will continue into future rebirth, but not the same segment. Every segment is a different form of mind, depending on which rhyme of existence one takes. And all this is dependent on the karmic process. That's why the Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. That upon death, the last thought moment, if there is still avijja, ignorant, because that fetter hasn't rooted out, then rebirth consciousness will take place. Yeah. But once you realize arahantaship, what happens is the 10 fetters all rooted out. There is no more avijja, no more ignorance. So at the death moment, the last death consciousness, because there is no more avijja, it does not condition rebirth consciousness. The normal rebirth consciousness of a Puttajana. Yeah. So when that one no more means, like the Arahan, no more rebirth as a segment, means they have end, birth and death of the segmented life, means they no need to come back to samsara. They no need to be part of the 31 plane of existence. They just free, cease. The other thing that we need to understand is, even as an arahant in their last life, when they are still alive, they may have end that they call it the so-called complete cessation, realization that leads to their ability to end rebirth of the segmented life. But there is one part, the birth and death of their thought process, they cannot end, where their mundane mind didn't collapse. And because of that, sometimes the Mahayana, they call it with outflow. Means that enlightenment, they become arahant, but there is still outflow. In Mandarin, I remember Xuan Hua call it low, lick, means it's not completely the segmented life, rebirth through segmented life end, but the birth and death of the thought process, they are still there. That's why they call it, there is still outflow. Yeah. So unless you go the Bodhisattva way, and reach certain stage of cultivation where you can illuminate your nature, then cause your mundane mind to cease and collapse. When you have that transformative ability where your pure awareness nature has become so fine, so refined, until the mundane mind cannot withstand that vibration. That's why it will collapse. Yeah. And when it collapses, a lot of things will happen. Then that being that is having that ability will understand, where his brain completely become different. The layer of consciousness, the mundane mind, that layer of consciousness from the forehead down, it will suddenly drop off. But the process will take a while, depending on the individual. So when that thing happens, it's like there is nothing to cloud his nature anymore. We are no more mundane mind. Everything is pure aggregate, non-grasping, without delusion. And there is no more that gross mundane movement or activity. There is just like the pure nature shine forth. Initially, I remember when it happened in 1989, it's like I have no mind at all. That cannot be. If I have no mind, then how can I think? How can I manifest the aggregate? But they are really like that so-called new awareness mind, we call it the supramundane mind, is so fine, like nothing is inside there. Really, you feel like no mind, nothing. Yeah. And that state was the most beautiful. Yes, I remember I was so amazed. For the next few days, I think it lasted 3 or 4 days, I was in that state. Then things that I never see before, I start to see. Then I start to realize truth is anywhere, everywhere, in the midst of life and nature. Why can't living beings see? That's why I came out with the saying, for those who see, they always see, because that nature can see clearly, vividly, all of the characteristics of nature. The three universal characteristics, anicca, dukkha, and anatta, and all the movement, the activity. It's like that nature is one with everything, and everything is so clear during that time. That's why it's very different. That cultivation is so different from the sainthood way. Okay, this one is for the benefit of those who can understand. We continue from where we stop. Okay. Analogy of not being guilty of lying is the next part of the sutta. Then there is a question, answer, and praise. Okay, so this part of the sutta starts with Sariputta. What do you think? When the elder gave great carts adorned with precious treasure equally to all of his children, was he guilty of lying or not? Commentary, Sariputta, what do you think? When the elder gave great carts adorned with precious treasure equally to all of his children, was he guilty of lying or not? The commentary say, was the Buddha lying when he gave his children those splendid great carts equally? Did he do anything wrong? Sariputta replied, no, O Honored One. The elder was only trying to help his children get out of the fire alive. This cannot be considered lying. Why? In escaping with their lives, they have already gained a fine plaything. What is more, he was employing skillful means to rescue them from the burning house. Then the next part of the sutta say, well, Honored One, if the elder had not given them even so much as a single small card, he still would not have been lying. Why? Because the elder previously had the thought, I shall use skillful means to lead my children out. For this reason, he was free from deception. How much more so, because the elder, knowing his own wealth to be limitless and wishing to benefit his children equally, gave each of them a great card. Then we go to the commentaries. Yeah? The Buddha asked Sariputta, "What is your opinion about the situation?" The elder gave them all great cards. Was he previously lying? Sariputta answered that the elder was not lying. It was not a falsehood at all. Someone may wonder, why didn't the Buddha explain this himself? He could have just made the question rhetorical and answered it himself. Why did he ask Sariputta instead? He asked Sariputta because in this analogy, the elder represents the Buddha. If the Buddha had himself said that he had not lied, most people would not have believed him. Therefore, he asked Sariputta, who was considered to have great wisdom, to answer his question. If Sariputta said that the Buddha was not lying, everyone would accept his opinion. So we now go into the commentary. Sariputta replied, "No, Your Honored One," means it is not a falsehood. The Buddha did not lie. And why? The elder was only trying to help the children get out of the fire alive. This cannot be considered as lying. So the explanation was good. Eh? The elder saved his children from the calamitous fire. He kept them from being burned to death. He saved their life. That he saved their life is justification that his words were not deceitful. Why, in escaping with their life, they had already gained a fine thing. So the commentary explained, you could say that getting out of the fire alive and unharmed is like receiving a fine plaything. This is because the most important thing to people, after all, is their lives. Since the children escape with their lives, you could say that they got the toy they wanted. So the Buddha did not lie. What is more, he was employing skillful means to rescue them from the burning fire. So this one, same explanation from the three rhyme. Well, Honored One, if that elder had not given them even as much as a single small card, a leadership card, he still would have not been lying. Why? Because the elder previously had the thought, I shall use skillful means to lead my children out. I shall use skillful means or expedient means to lure all the children out of the burning house. For this reason, he was free from deception. Why? He had clearly intended from the beginning to employ skillful means, mere provisional teachings to get them out. For this reason, since he saved them, his word cannot be counted as a malicious lie. How much more so, because the elder, knowing his own wealth to be limitless and wishing to benefit his children equally, gave each of them a great card. So, possessing boundless wealth, the elder wanted to give each of his disciple or children a great card. This passage of text points out that the Buddha, in saving living beings, does use the lesser vehicle Dhamma. Nevertheless, he has already fulfilled his responsibility. He has gone beyond his responsibility in giving all living beings the great vehicle Dhamma. Since he rescues beings with the great vehicle Dhamma, he cannot be considered guilty of lying. So this is the explanation part, not so important. Then next part of the sutta. The Buddha said to Sariputta, good indeed, it's just as you said. Having heard his answer, the Buddha said to Sariputta, good indeed, it's just as you have said. You are right, your explanation is correct. Then next part of the sutta, correlating the parable with the Dhamma, correlating the parable as a whole, correlating the three analogies of the elders and the others, correlating the three analogies of the tens of children, then finally correlating the specific analogies. Okay, next part. Sariputta, the Tathagata is similar to this elder in that he is a father to all living beings. He has put an end, absolute end, to all fear, distress, worry, anxiety, ignorance, darkness, and obstacle. He has brought to perfection limitless knowledge and vision, powers and fearlessness. He has great spiritual might and the power of wisdom. He is replete with the paramitas of perfection of skillful means and wisdom. He is extremely kind and compassionate, never growing weary of doing good deeds that benefit everyone. Thus, he is born in the old Delhi, dilapidated burning house of the three realms. So this part is the analogy. To us, the burning house means the suffering world, the prevalence of suffering within the three realms, which is the 31 plane of this existence. We have the sensual realm, the form realm, and the formless realm. So sensual realm, we have the human realm and the four willful state, five, plus the six deva realm, so 11. Yeah? Then the form realm has 16, the Brahma realm, so 16 plus 11, 27. Then there is four formless realm, the four formless jhana, added up 31 realm or 31 plane of existence. Okay, commentaries. Sariputta, the Tathagata is similar to these elders in that he is a father to all living beings. So the commentary explained, just like the elder in the story, the Buddha teaches and transforms living beings and acts as a compassionate father to all living beings in the world. But in the context of the Dhamma, is different explanation. This one is analogy, like saving them from the burning house. But in the context of the Dhamma, the Buddha actually perfected himself, and developed the all-knowing wisdom and virtue so that he can come out with the Bodhisattva vow and vow to take across all living beings, yeah, and to teach them the Supreme Vehicle teaching. But starting off with the skillful means, or what we call the lesser vehicle teaching. So what the Buddha did is, like what I explained in the early days, he started by relating to them the reality of life and existence, which is the First Noble Truth. If you live life long enough, you will encounter this eight reality, which is the First Noble Truth, eight reality of birth, old age, sickness, and death. Then separation from loved ones, prized possession, things that you hold on to dearly. Then when you are with people whom you don't like, when you cannot get what you want. Then, in short, he summarized, when you deludedly believe you are real, you exist, you are a permanent unchanging entity with a form and mind. When you grab onto this form and mind, which can be broken down into the five aggregates of form and mind, it will condition one's suffering. That's how the First Noble Truth, reality, stand out. Then when you understand that there is prevalence of suffering, this First Noble Truth itself is like the burning house. Suffering is everywhere, prevalence. Without this Dhamma understanding, you suffer. So the sainthood way, the lesser vehicle, is to give you immediate understanding to be free from all this suffering. Because initially he cannot be telling you that there's a supreme vehicle teaching where you can perfect yourself and develop all the wisdom virtue and you can go the Bodhisattva way and take off. They got no time for that. Their life is too short and they want pleasure and other things. So when they go through life, especially when being different stage, they encounter different aspects of the reality. Especially old age, sickness and death, separation, all this. Most of them encounter them at later ages. When you are young, you don't encounter. So this teaching is meant for the early phases. Then after that, he taught the second noble truth. He told them, these eight realities that trigger the prevalence of suffering, there is a cause behind all this suffering or dukkha. So when you know that this is dukkha and the cause behind, then you can manage your life better. You will be more keen to learn about this teaching. Then put it into practice and try to develop the understanding so that you can like liberate your mind from this so-called unnecessary suffering. That's why after that he taught the third noble truth. He said, suffering need not be when you have the wisdom. Enlightenment in the here and the now, leading to the realization of Nibbana, can be realized. That give hope. That give what they call meaning to life and joy. That's why they will strive on with heedfulness to cultivate it. Then he didn't end there. He not only told you that it can be done, he even teach you the way out of it. So in the fourth noble truth, he taught the Noble Eightfold Path. He said, you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, you will lead to the end of all sorts of suffering. When you have the Noble Eightfold Path understanding and cultivation, the embodiment of it, you will be free from all suffering. Means you can realize the sainthood way until Arahantaship. Yeah. So this four noble truth, together with the teaching, or he called it the three turning of the four noble truth, is the sainthood way, the preliminary teaching, or using the skillful means to draw living being. Because when you are in a burning fire, the main aim is to escape. So this analogy is the real meaning. Okay, we go back to the sharing. See, the next part is written. He has put an absolute end to all fear, distress, worry, ignorance, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, insecurity, darkness, phobia, and obstacle, all coming obstacle. So this is the suffering part. So all beings are subject to ignorance, which obscure the wisdom, Sakyamuni Buddha said. Then Sakyamuni Buddha, on the other hand, has liberated his mind, has no more fear, no more distress, no more worry, no more anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. Oh, cares. He has completely dispelled the darkness, means the avijja part, the ignorant part, that results from being obscured by ignorance. He has forever eradicated all affliction and wrong thought or heedless thinking. He has brought to perfection limitless knowledge and vision, power and fearlessness. Since ignorance and darkness are gone forever, all that remains is the limitless wisdom and knowledge or virtue. Limitless knowledge and vision of a Buddha. In a previous lecture, I mentioned how each realizes the path, that the sainthood way, to their past practice in the formative stage. Take Sariputta, for example. He unfolded, showed, awakened to, and realized the knowledge and vision of a Buddha through the cultivation of wisdom. Mahamoggallana did so through the practice of spiritual powers, psychic ability. Sariputta's formative practice was wisdom, because he was the chief disciple of the Buddha, foremost in wisdom. While Moggallana developed spiritual powers, or what they call psychic ability, in the formative stage of his cultivation. By taking one more step in the direction of their former practices, they unfolded, showed, awakened to, and realized the knowledge and vision of a Buddha. Now the Buddha has completely eradicated his ignorance and darkness. At the same time, he has perfected limitless wisdom and the power of the heavenly eye. Okay, I think we stop here. We stop here, we just mark this page. Okay, we are on page 683. Now we will continue with our second session. We will open up for meditation reporting, or if you have any question, you can ask. Then we can also discuss further on last Thursday sharing. I think last Thursday sharing was very good. Even last Sunday, I think Alicia brought it up. You all should go and listen to the last Thursday sharing, because it's about Unicode 143, where I explain how living being, or human being especially, create thought. Then why I always explain, initially the first to come out from the four circle formation, remember, from the source, the first to come out is the pure awareness nature, our true mind, the silent mind. So that was your true nature. Initially, our true nature, where we are not a being. We are a form and mind, which is a vehicle, the tool. And this form and mind, karmically conditioned out, is connected to the source. You need, because the source or the pure awareness nature is not a being. It cannot come out and live life. It needs a vehicle to come through the karmic process. That's why I call it the karmic process. So through karma, our karmic nature, it will condition a form and mind for our nature to come to this existential world, or we call it the conditioned world. So once the form and mind arise, then this form and mind, because it come from there, you can return and connect to that nature, that source. That's why when you meditate, you silence your mundane mind, your thinking mind, then that one sees you return to the pure awareness nature, your true mind, your silent mind. And that is the one that is the primordial. From there, all things arise. That's why the Buddha say, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Where mind arises, all things arise. That is the meaning. How from the pure awareness nature, it started the whole creation process. The movement of consciousness with its content. So this movement of consciousness with its content is the creation process that I explained. Yeah. So today, I will make it more clear so that you can understand. Yeah. Like I always share, initially, if you understand, you have two mind, your primordial nature, which is spacious awareness. So spacious awareness, so this one is not correct. Hatsuta is not correct. So never mind, we can use it. So initially, you are just spacious awareness. Yeah? Then what happens is, from this spacious awareness, when you want to perceive something through your senses, you got your six sendor or sense basis. So this six sendor or sense basis can enable you to perceive, like seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. So you can become conscious of the world. You can know the world. You can interact with the world through your senses. So this six sense basis is very important. So through your sense door, like seeing, if you want to see something, perceive what you see, you need to shrink that spacious awareness, shrink it down to a small space to perceive. So when you understand this, then you realize from spacious awareness, you shrink into a small area. Like you want to perceive the Buddha Rupang or my voice or whatever within my house, you want to perceive it, then you need to focus either on your hearing to hear my voice or seeing consciousness, you need to look at certain object, understand or not, to perceive it. So you shrink your consciousness. So once you shrink your consciousness, what do you do? After that, what is the movement inside your brain and your mundane activity? Through the memory, you retrieve, isn't it? Yeah, you have all the accumulated memory, which is your knowledge, understand? You learn from school and all those things, or your education and all. So that one will label what you want to perceive, like the Kuan Yin image, the Buddha Rupang, or my voice, the English language and all those things. You will perceive it. So you perceive it through this shrink or shrunk consciousness. You shrink it into a small space. So this one is small space. Then you input the content of consciousness. So this one is the content of consciousness. So this content of consciousness is all from your memory, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, your accumulated experiences, good and bad, your phobia included, your insecurity. Yeah. Then all of your, what they call, emotional negativity, could be fear and whatever. Yeah. Even your deep-rooted phobia, deep-rooted sorrow, lamentation, things that you are being subject to when you go through life. It could be very traumatic experience. That's why they call it the trauma. All this lead to accumulation. Then this content of consciousness is what our thinking aggregate is all about, sankhara, including feeling and perception. So vedana, sanya, sankhara, these three is actually the content of consciousness. So this is just sankhara, nothing else. That's why sankhara anicchang, sankhara dukkang. The meaning is all the movement within here, the small space, But when you perceive something, you will think about that thing, isn't it? You will give meaning, isn't it? Then you will create movement, isn't it? Reaction, like and dislike, pleasant, unpleasant, all those stirring of the mind, reaction of the mind, they happen inside here. That's why Krishnamurti says, this one, after you shrink it, become limited. This one become a thought. This whole thing become a thought. That's why Krishnamurti say, thought is limited. Why? You can understand now very clearly. Before you become a thought, you are spacious awareness. You can be aware of everything. That's why you are sensitive. Understand now? You are spacious. You are not limited. But the moment you shrink it down, when you are preoccupied with this thought process, what happened to you? You can only know the movement inside there. Through your memory, through your view, then you create a lot of activity here and movement here. But whatever outside, you are unable to know. And this is why thought is limited. Understand? From spacious awareness, you lost your entity, you know. You forgot that you are actually the oneness, no. But that one is not a being, understand? No? That one cannot come out and live life. But this small fellow, because of the form and mind, this thought process is the second aspect of the five areas of form and mind. This one becomes egoic, understand? No? It thinks it exists. It thinks it very smart, very cunning, and it can do a lot of what they call cunning thing, or we call it deluded thing, heedless thing. But to them who are deluded and heedless, they think they are very smart, very powerful. They think by doing all those nonsense, they can benefit from it, and also not knowing that there is this nature's law that governs life, especially the law of karma, which work the opposite way. Without wisdom, you suffer. And this is where the real Dhamma, as taught by the Buddha, is. To understand this five degree of form and mind. That's why the Buddha said, all this content of consciousness, which is Sankara, all the aggregates of mind, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, that's why Sankara, Sanya. Then from there, you stir the emotion, trigger of the feeling. Then feeling become affected and become like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. It develops into emotion. Understand that? So from the thought process, from what you perceive through your views, opinion, conditioning, memory, everything, you stir your mind. You create more thinking, more entanglement, and more what they call discriminative thinking based on your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, and what you have been told, or what you have developed as so-called understanding, which is actually knowledge. Nothing to do with wisdom. That's why this one is limited. It cannot free you. It cannot go beyond thought, beyond mind. It cannot realize the infinite, the awareness nature, which is the totality, the spacious awareness within the oneness. So because of that, when you develop the awareness-based meditation, you realize this is very stupid. This is very limited. This is where you get trapped. Then why do you want to go in again? Understand? Then like the Buddha said, whatever you do through the Sankara, you may analyze, like I won song last night in the early day, or give reason. You may go and do a lot of reasoning, analysis. But it cannot free you. Understand? But this is for the world. Understand? To argue, to be right, to develop more egoic karmic negativity and trigger all the suffering and misery. It will inflict on yourself and others. That's why the chaotic phenomenal world of consciousness, the fourth circle formation, is the result of all this wrong thought, lack of wisdom. But when you develop awareness-based meditation, you see this clearly. Then you know who are you, what are you, how you function as a living being. Then how you can free yourself from it. But when you just aware inside here, everything ceases. Then what happens? You realize back the true mind and the silent mind. Then you are with one. Then you realize that one is the devilish element. There's no being inside. No word, no duality, no fear, no worry, no anxiety. It's only tranquility, stillness, peace. But this spacious awareness don't have word, don't have anything. This is your true mind, pure awareness nature. So the characteristic of this is tranquility, stillness, silence, peace. Now can you understand? So this one is the final summary of what I have been teaching all this while. You understand this? You understand who you are, what you are, and how you create thought. How from this limited space, you input the content and create all the deluded thinking. That's why sabbe sankara anicang. It's impermanent. It come and go, arise and pass away. Then you give meaning, attach, you suffer. Sabbe sankara dukkhang anasana. And because it is impermanent, it's not a permanent anjaya, this is non-self, not you. The content of consciousness is not you. Anger is not you. Fear is not you. Violence is not you. The emotions are not you. They are dependent, originating, anasana. Condition arising, causal phenomena, non-intrinsic to your true nature. Initially, you are this spacious awareness. You got none of all this, anasana. This arise through your ignorance, your delusion, your conditioned thinking, your heedless thinking. That's why this one trigger wrong thought, emotion. All the suffering, the misery, your whatever emotion, all the very negative one is also here. So understand this, you will wake up. Then what did I tell you? It's only a thought, understand? How come it has power over you? Can make you so miserable. People went into depression, become cuckoo, suicidal thought, depressive thought. And they suffer so much mental suffering, that condition physical suffering. And the form and mind become like so haggard. This is not life, anasana. This is suffering, misery. You come to this existential world to live life, to develop the understanding of life so that you can experience all the pristine wonders and beauties of life. Not to come here to create your own misery, your own karmic entanglement and suffering and karmic death, life after life. That is really delusion, ignorant. See it, contemplate it, understand it, and wake up and vow never to be trapped in this again. Means, in your bodhisattva vow, the miscellaneous vow, you can add in the understanding. Well, this part is for the bodhisattva. That's why last time I didn't teach you all, I didn't put in the yellow card. The yellow card, I only teach how to break. Break what? Karmic obstruction, understand now? All of it. Until and unless you can break, you cannot come to this understanding. You cannot cultivate the Supreme Vehicle Way. And this need awareness to see, to understand. And this is not in the Theravada teaching. The words are there, but not taught. They cannot understand it this way. Yeah. They don't even know that they create thought. And how they create also they don't know. They don't know that this spacious awareness shrink into this and input the content and it become a thought. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. So anybody wants to add anything or share anything or yeah.
Hello, good evening, Brother Jiu, Mrs. Jiu, and Okayamita. Brother Jiu, since we bring up 这个 topics, 我想分享一下我最近的 encounter.
Okay.
这几个月我都是非常的忙。So, 我也不懂从几时开始那个 first thought of ignorance 一下子就 appeared在我的脑海里面，为什么我要做的这么苦？
Yeah.
为什么我要做这么多东西？
Not until you understand that you can never penetrate the true understanding. Actually, 那个就是你的修行的 progress. Then only you can come to that point. Just from a single thought of ignorance. That's why Xuan Hua Sang Ren, he always said,意念之差 You know what is the 意念之差 Just because of a single thought You become living being You suffer The Buddha Because of one single thought Become the Samasa Buddha Because the single thought of ignorance The first thought of ignorance That condition living being into suffering That is the oneThat's why Xuan Hua, when he taught the Ten Dharma Rhyme, he said, 佛跟众生相差一念之间。He said, the Buddha and living being, they only differ by a single thought. Single thought of what? Ignorant. Yeah. That's why for those who understand, they know. Nip it in the bud.You know what is nip it in the bud. That's why the Buddha say, the wrong thought when they arise, immediately abandon it. Then later on with the wisdom, you don't need to abandon. You can prevent it from arising. That's how you free. That's why when your wisdom stabilize, then you understand it so clearly, then they cannot deceive you. They don't have power over you.That's why the second right effort to prevent it from arising is very easy. Just like what Alicia went through last time. For 16 years in depression, all the wrong thoughts, he has seen them inside our understanding. Then whenever they arise, I remember in the early days, he used to share with us. He said, enough, he told that thought. Enough, for 16 years,You have tormented me and deceived me. Straight away, subside, or zoom, go down. The wrong thought of becoming angry, emotional, upset by what people say, what people do, and what happened. All this, they will cease to be. When you develop the clear understanding of the full picture of this cultivation,The Dhamma dawn upon you. And once that understanding stabilizes, you become very different. You are no longer like the normal living being who cling on to everything, who blame everything except themselves. Because that Sakkaya Ditthi is very difficult to root out. The self-delusion, the ignorance within. Because without wisdom, you cannot see all this.You cannot develop the wisdom to free from all this. That's why for Alicia, she able to do it is because of the blessing in this guy. Her past is that she, this life, got to go through that period of suffering or depressive mind state leading to deterioration of health or something. Then from there, when the time is right,When causes and conditions fall into place, The moment she stepped into this Tuesday class, I remember, I think 10 over years ago, she straight away become different. She see like there is a light at the end of the tunnel. He said, for the first time, I say, he heard somebody who can explain to him what happened to her, no? To her. Her suffering and misery. Also. Then can explain to her the cause behind, no? Which is attachment, craving, clinging, grasping, wrong view and all that. Then later on, she keep on chasing after the thought, ask Sui An to quickly release it. Then throughout the day, except her sleeping moment, traveling on the train, on the bus, on the plane, or wherever he has time, she will listen. Then from there, she actually developed the understanding and the joy and came out of it. That's why sometimes don't be like too like unhappy. Don't go and think, "Ayo, why I so much suffering? Why other people born lucky, blessed, no suffering?" Sometimes it's the other way around. Without suffering, you cannot wake up. It is with suffering that you can wake up. Yeah. That's why a lot of people who don't understand the law of karma is blessing in disguise. Must happen this way means must happen this way. If it doesn't happen this way, it cannot lead you out of the way. It cannot lead you to the understanding that can liberate you and transform you. So all this is what we call nature's movement and condition. Trust your nature. Have faith in virtue, in wisdom and understanding. Just cultivate. Don't try to know. Don't ask why I so sui, why I so unlucky, why I got so much negative karma. Forget about it. Because like Shenhua used to say, whatever the life situation is, initially, it may appear very bad, he said. But if you have the understanding to accept the reality, then apply Noble Eightfold Path, everything will turn around and become a blessing in disguise. I remember in the year 1987, actually 86, I took refuge under him. Then I listened to his sharing. 87, that time I heard this. Yeah. Well, I like to record his Dhamma talk. Then I listen to it again and again. No? Even when I drive to office, come back from office, I go back to Alastair, the long distance, I always play the tape. My wife will know. I think Sui, they also will know. Then I listen attentively. That's why from there, the understanding actually arise. And for me, is my nature has gone through a lot. That's why this life, it comes, is so different. You no need to have all the... But for other kayamita, please understand. Don't, because of this life, you think you not so like lucky like others who have their past calling. No, you never know that you also have your past cultivation, but the time has not come or manifest. The moment that thing happens, when it connect, you go very fast, you transform very fast. You look at a lot of karmita, many of them. From nowhere, suddenly the understanding just come forth. Even, especially Alicia's case, so how you express that? So so gao gao. Also can come out of it. That's why suffering sometimes is not immediate one. I think last night I was discussing with Dona Sui or my wife. I said, Alicia takes 16 years. There was one other kayamita take 2 over years old in depression. before she can actually come out of it and have the condition to meet me and talk to me and really develop the wisdom within 2-3 months and 3 years. And there are many. But there are some who take very long also, like Song used to tell me, but till I be with you for so long, and yet I still, until the last few years. There are a lot of Kayamita also say, I remember last time Jin Hao was the same. Why I so child? And a lot of them. But you don't worry, you must have faith. The faith is very important. When you have faith, Sada, it will trigger the other spiritual faculty. Virya will arise. Then it will drive you. Then you will cultivate. Then Sati, Samadhi. Stabilize your awareness nature, Sati, Samadhi. That one is most important. When you stabilize that, you progress very fast. If you don't stabilize that, then this Sati and Samadhi cannot become power, balance. It cannot help you to transform. It cannot help you to see the direct seeing, the wisdom and all those things. But once you stabilize the awareness, you don't need teacher technically. Like I used to tell Song Diao, Pusheng Diao. Once they connect, no need really. They can learn themselves already. Yeah. Yes, their awareness enables them to see and understand things. Then, of course, when you have somebody who has gone through to guide you, to teach you, then you can actually develop understanding much faster and you progress a lot faster. Okay? So we should rejoice with the good condition and thank Alicia and many other Kayamita for giving rise to such good condition for today's sharing. Alicia, you continue. Sorry, take up a bit of your time.
It's okay, Bradio. Actually, Bradio, make a condition that arises of 是我们去学习。 对，因为对我而言，对我而言是。 因为我不能说我已经明白全部，但是因缘法它就是这样，它要你从在那个因缘法里面，你看到它的生灭怎么样的，我们的 mind based 的，对吗？所以，对我而讲哦，我就是我感觉到就是那个 habitual tendency 还是在那边，你看到它那个 emotion 来。就是他来，你好像就是那个 ignorant part， 就是你，你知道他来这了，但是你又好像觉得，哎，不要压抑他，让他发出来吧。
yeah.
但是每一次当他一发出来之后，我就感觉到哇，很难受，就是因为你觉得你怎么样讲
？Because your awareness is sensitive.
Yeah.
你感觉得到很难受，
但是你觉得你好像是很伤心，但是你又不会哭，因为你已经不是以前那个伤心就哭了。
Because of the understanding and the sensitivity, you know how to relax into it already. Then later on, you become like very conversant in it, you know. Like all this thing to you is no more meaning. It has no more power over you. But initially, you will go through that phase, like you mentioned. All these are the habitual tendencies. But it takes time to slow down, to like completely develop the stability of wisdom and understanding to root it out. But to root it out is not overnight. Mm. That's why the habitual tendency, even 正言法师, the 持吉院, he also in her book, you remember, the Wu Liang Yi Jing. He keep on mentioning habitual tendency, you know. And that is the most difficult to root out, you know? Even at her level and understanding, you know. That's why habitual tendency is a tendency that we have developed as habit. That's that, you know? And this habit, like, mechanical in nature or no, automatic is still or no, Not until you straighten your view, develop the clear understanding, it cannot stop one. It's just like the analogy I give you, the bell, when you rotate it, when you rotate it, because your heedless thinking and habit tendency has become a momentum. No? You know what is momentum? It moves by itself. No? So, but the moment you are aware with the wisdom, then this momentum breaks. No? At the moment it breaks, you want to move it again, it becomes more difficult already. More difficult already. Then later on, when you have that wisdom, this fellow cannot move again. Cannot move anymore, not to say again. And then you realize, hey, things is just the way it is. Condition like that, things will be like, that final wisdom will manifest. Then you would know deep inside, no more already. Rooted out already. Cannot stir already. So all this understanding, the cultivator will go through and it will manifest. And you will know inside because it has become so sensitive. That nature has become so sensitive, the spacious awareness nature. Yeah. So this movement inside, initially you have to be with it. Go back to here to stay with whatever emotion and let it cease. Do this as many times as you can. Then when you realize that everything ceases, then why want to analyze? That's not. Then why want to use the thought to think of a way? This is impermanent. Bring about suffering. I don't want to think. That one is still suppression. Understand? Don't go and reason. Stay with it. Then witness the cessation. Then you realize everything ceases. By not doing anything, you return to the true awareness nature. All your habitual thinking come from causes and conditions within. If you go and analyze and reason, you trigger off the sankhara again. That's why that type of reasoning is temporary. Okay lah, enough already lah, suffer enough already, don't want to think. Cannot. Because the wisdom not there, no, not rooted out. No. So it's just like chui gong, kagi song. With no wisdom behind on. You say something to make yourself satisfied and happy. No point. So this one is very important. Thought is limited. There is only a thought. How come it has such power over you?
Brother,
summarize.
Actually, 后来我什么也没有做。然后 suddenly 那个 right view 就出来。
哇，啥都。
Then after that, 我整个人好像我的 mind 被 liberate。
对。
就没有了。就
feel very light, feel very light,
and
整个 come back to normal, 松起来。Then you feel very good.Especially you stay and when it ceases, then you realize the heart there, no more movement, no more agitation, that tranquility, that stillness, that peace, that silence, all start to dawn inside here. And this one merged back with the spacious awareness. Then you realize, what the Buddha teaches is so wonderful. Sabbe sankhara anicchang, sabbe sankhara dukkhang.Sabbe dhamma anatta, he no you, he no me, non-self. That's why there is no being to suffer. Actually, no living being to save to, finally. But because of the bodhisattva way, the vow, you need that to come back as a form of mind, through the pure thought. That's why we know, we use it. It's just like the Buddha's skillful mean. He know there's no living being to be saved.Then, where got disciple, where got student, where got enemy, where got parent, where got all these other identity that we create through avijja, through ignorance. But to live life, there is such thing as existence, life, law of karma, duality, everything. Everything within our civilization, they exist.But they are not real, not what you think. That's why when you understand the unconditioned and the conditioned Dhamma, then you can live life beautifully. Understand? Yeah. Mm. Let us rejoice. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Today one very good. Go and listen. Okay? How you, Alicia?
Bradio time's up, 所以改天我再继续去分析。改天再分析。阿弥陀佛。Sadhu,
Let's rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us share merit. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang lakantu loka sasana etawata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabasampati siddhiya idang menyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo asatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha vito bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kanyin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Sadhu.